I could be handy mending a fuse when your lights have gone.
You're listening to Health Center in the Catskills on WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program. Well, GLP-1s are all the rage these days. They're helping obese people to lose weight and improve health. And this GLP-1s are drugs like Ozempic that you see advertised on television all the time. Every day there seems to be a new report on other benefits of GLP-1s, including possibly helping people with longstanding addictions to reduce their substance use. As the popularity of these medications spreads and insurance companies cover their costs, questions are arising about whether they are safe and effective in older adults. Liz Siegert is a freelance journalist who writes about aging issues, including for the Association for Healthcare Journalists, where she writes on aging issues and how to cover them. She's also Health Cetera correspondent on aging issues and recently wrote a column on GLP-1s with Joseph Burns that I thought might be really good for her to talk about today. And I'm delighted to welcome Liz back to Health Cetera in the Catskills. Thank you so much, Liz, for coming back on.
Hi, Diana. Nice to be with you again.
So for those who may not know much about GLP-1s, what are they?
Well, GLP stands for the glucagon-like peptide hormone, which is a mouthful, but it's a hormone the body releases naturally to signify that you're full. And that hormone also stimulates insulin secretion and prevents the liver from releasing too much sugar into the bloodstream, and it slows stomach emptying. So the idea is you feel fuller longer, therefore you're not as hungry, and therefore you don't overeat.
So how are they given? How do people take GLP-1s?
Most of the time they're given by self-injection. I'm sure everybody's seen the television ads about that. But there are some newer delivery methods, including what's called a quick stick, which is less onerous than trying to measure out a dose and finding the right injection site. And there's been an oral pill developed recently, which will make it a lot easier for people that either have a fear of needles or just can't handle it.
So who should take or consider taking GLP-1s?
Well, when we're talking specifically about older adults, most of the experts I spoke with, including experts at Mount Sinai's weight loss program and Yale School of Medicine, all agree that it should not be the first line of treatment for anyone in the 60 and over category. And that's because of a lot of reasons. Number one, there's changes in metabolism as you age. So weight gain, which may be caused by overeating or other factors when you're in your 30s, may be caused by a different factor when you're in your 60s or 70s, like slower metabolism. It's just a byproduct of getting older. So the GLP-1s do much better in curbing overeating than they do in, for example, increasing metabolism. The second issue with GLP-1s is that they do have some side effects. We've heard about the nausea, the vomiting, sometimes gastric distress, and that can be a real concern for older adults. It can lead to dehydration, which in turn can lead to falls. It can lead to some cognitive impairment because of the dehydration, and it can also lead to muscle loss and even some bone loss. But one of the challenges we have is that we don't have a lot of good data on older adults. When these studies were first done on the original GLP-1s, only about 1 in 10 participants in these studies was over age 60. And while they've been around now for use in diabetes and cardiovascular disease for a few years, we don't still have enough information on obesity-only use. That's all new thanks to a new Medicare program.
And I want to just move back out to the broader population for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
One of the considerations for GLP-1s is for people who are morbidly obese, meaning your health is really at high risk for decline, for even death, because you are so overweight, so obese, that GLP-1s can actually help to really lend some protection for you from complications, health complications, and death. So there's that weight loss piece, but there is, I think, some emerging evidence that some of the other impacts of taking GLP-1s have to do with better cardiovascular and respiratory functioning, and that may be a side effect of losing the weight, but there may be an independent effect of that. Are you seeing this as well?
Well, I've seen the data on the cardiovascular use, and yes, there is good solid evidence for people with certain heart conditions. And it's, again, not something that might be used as a first line, but if traditional approaches haven't worked, then it's certainly another tool in a provider's arsenal.
Yeah, and I find some of the emerging research on addictions quite fascinating. The people who were taking it for weight loss said they no longer had any craving for the drug that they were addicted to.
This is one of the unintended consequences, in a good way, of these drugs. Again, you know, we haven't looked at that particular issue in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. So I hate to default to the more clinical studies are needed mm-hmm. approach, mm-hmm. but the initial evidence looks promising.
Yeah. So something to keep our eyes on. I have to say, when you talk about the side effects, I you know, I've long had weight issues. I'm not morbidly obese, thank God, but I've long had weight issues. And there was a piece of me that thought, well, maybe I should take GLP-1s. And then when I looked at the side effects, I thought, wait a minute, I'm in my 70s. Do I really want to finish up my life with nausea, maybe vomiting, diarrhea, a loss of appetite? I enjoy food. I enjoy good food. I eat really healthy. And I thought, that's not the way I want to lose weight. And so I've resorted to some other methods, including Noom that I did for a while, and just have been gradually, very slowly successful. So I also talked to some clinicians who said they can almost tell when somebody walks in the room, they have the GLP look, and it's where you're losing that muscle tone in your face. And mm-hmm. for older people, what you said about the loss of bone and muscle is really concerning, because, you know, as I'm sure you can speak to, as we get older, we lose muscle mass anyway. It's really hard to maintain that muscle mass. And so you're weakening that ever more and setting yourself up for things like fractures for falls. I mean, I don't know that we have the evidence on that yet, but it makes sense to me.
Well, we have plenty of evidence that poor muscle mass does lead to falls. It leads to increased hospitalizations, and falls can create a cascading effect that ultimately results in premature mortality. So you don't want to do anything that will exacerbate that process. Now, obviously, I'm generalizing here. If you're 70 and in generally good health and you exercise, then certainly a physician will treat you very differently than somebody who's, say, 80 and has frailty problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's hard to make a generalization, but the one thing the experts did tell me is that diet and lifestyle changes and exercise are still their first suggestions when anybody at any age is trying to lose weight.
So one of the issues around GLP-1s has been their cost. And the cost was such that for some people, they can't afford it. And it was actually a barrier to people who have certain insurance coverage. They couldn't access it because their insurance didn't cover the drug. And it was an issue until recently around Medicare. So this has changed. Tell us about the change.
Medicare launched something called the Bridge Program on July 1st, which is a short-term pilot program. It only lasts until December 2027, so about 18 months, where certain Medicare recipients, those who have Part D or who have certain, which is a prescription drug plan, or who have certain drug benefits under Medicare Advantage, can apply for prior authorization and enrollment into this program. It's something your doctor or healthcare provider has to do in cooperation with you. And there's all kinds of red tape and bureaucracy, which I won't get into, but it's not as easy as it sounds. Mm. The advantage to this program is that you can get on one of three drugs, Wegovy, certain version of Zepbound, or Fondeo, for $50 copay a month. Mm. And that's a significant cost savings. And the reason that we started reporting on this is because people have heard about this program, and many have rushed to their physicians in an effort to get on this. But again, you know, the caution is advised before people just willy-nilly get prescriptions for this. The bigger problem is twofold. Number one, Medicare does not cover obesity drugs generally, so this is an exception to their policy, and it's only a year and a half. Mm. So what happens when this program ends? Mm. Yeah. The second problem is that a lot of people may have to go off the drugs if they wind up having to pay $400 or $500 a month again. Yeah. And when you go off these drugs, you regain the weight and then some. And you're that much older, and it can really exacerbate some of the existing problems you may have.
So, Liz, my understanding was that people often regain 50% of their weight back, but you're saying they gain back, if you stop it, people are gaining back all and more. Is that right?
They could. Okay. The potential is there. Yeah. Obviously, everyone is individual. But older adults, again, because their metabolism is different, because the drug works differently on their bodies as opposed to a 35-year-old, run specific risks that we still are not 100% sure about.
Yeah. And so I want you to think about, you know, an older person coming to you and saying, well, I'm thinking about doing GLP-1s. What would you advise them, knowing you're not a healthcare provider?
Yes, let's make that
clear.
I'm a health journalist.
Yes.
I don't play doctor on TV or radio or anything else.
Yes.
I would tell them, first of all, speak with your provider. Truly understand the risk versus benefit. Make sure you're prepared for some of these side effects. I have friends that are on these drugs, and some of them do fine, and some of them had to go off, and they did regain the weight. And it wasn't a cost thing. It was a side effects thing. Mm. Make sure that if you are going to go on these drugs, that you understand what you might be in for. And you might, because knowing that fall risk is a possibility, you might want to even do something like take stock of your living room and your bedroom and cut out certain things that might contribute more to falls, like area rugs.
Mm. Yeah.
So basically go in with your eyes wide open.
Mm, yeah. And in the research that you've done on this, do you have thoughts about the differences between these drugs? You mentioned Wegovy. People know about Ozempic, and there are some others as well. Do they all work pretty much the same?
My understanding is that they all work pretty much the same because basically they're peptides. And if you think about it, insulin, what our body produces naturally, is also a peptide. Mm-hmm. Chemistry was not my forte in school, but the way the experts, who I did do very well in chemistry, explained it to me, is that they all have slightly different mechanisms, but that the general premise is very similar in that they block the hormones that make you still feel hungry. Mm-hmm. The whole idea is to make you feel full.
Yeah.
So you eat less.
Yeah, yeah. So is there anything else you'd want to alert people about in terms of GLP-1s and weight loss?
I think you have to be prepared that if this program runs out, you have to plan on what you're going to do. You know, it's not everybody will qualify for the program. Not everybody should qualify for the program. Mm. But if you do and you have a year and a half on this drug and it's successful, you have to remember it's a lifetime approach. Mm. And are you prepared to spend $200 or $500 a month to keep that weight off? Because even if you regain half the weight you lost, for some people that can be significant.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And Liz, what about Medicaid coverage?
Well, this is where we get into policy issues, because originally the Bridge program was only supposed to be for 6 months. And at the beginning of next year, there was supposed to be a program called Balance, which would have covered it under Medicare and Medicaid. The challenge was getting health insurers to sign on. Mm. And the major ones like United Healthcare and Kaiser Permanente couldn't come to an agreement with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. So the Balance program was paused and the Bridge program was extended.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, Medicaid, it depends on what state you're in, but my understanding is most Medicaid programs do not cover this as a treatment.
And what about private insurance?
Again, it really depends on what you have. Mm-hmm. Some private insurers will cover it because they feel that the risks of obesity and obesity-related diseases, as you mentioned, you know, heart disease, diabetes, pulmonary issues, outweighs the cost of several hundred dollars a month.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, most people who are on private insurance, whether that's the exchange or an employer plan or even Medicare Advantage, might have significant copays mm-hmm. or deductibles to reach before they start getting reimbursed for this cost.
Mm.
So I would say sit down and do the math, and if you are on a Medicare Advantage or an ACA plan, talk to your insurer about what is covered and what's not, and make sure you understand it.
Yeah, good. And if people want to read what you've written about this, how can they find it?
Well, probably the easiest thing to do is go to my website, which is www.lizsegert.com. That's LizSeegert, one word, .com. And I have both the story I did for the Health Journalists Association and a recent one for Scientific American on there.
Great. And because we have a few minutes left, I'm really eager to ask you, you've been covering health issues and aging for quite some time, and very well, I might add.
Thanks.
And so what are like two or three things that you feel like if older people knew this, they would just live healthier lives? What are the two or three things that you feel top of mind every older person should be thinking about doing?
There's a couple of things that immediately pop into my head. Number one, the issue of social isolation and loneliness is huge.
Mm.
And people rightfully want to age in place. I know I certainly do. I know you are.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, as we get older, friends start moving away or passing away. Our world starts becoming smaller, perhaps because of physical problems, cognitive problems. For example, hearing loss is a big reason people don't go out and socialize. So keeping that network of friends and colleagues, getting involved in a senior center, getting involved in volunteer work is crucial, not only to keeping you cognitively intact, but social isolation and loneliness has also been shown to shave years off your life.
Mm. Mm.
So that's number one.
And that's huge in our area because we're such a rural area with distances between us, the large distances in many cases. With an aging population in the county and not a lot of social services to support people who are living alone, it's a real challenge here. So that's a really good point. Next on your list.
You have to think about, for example, and I don't live as rural as you do, but I do live in a quasi-rural area, not far from Poughkeepsie, and you need a car for everything.
Yep.
So what happens when you can't drive?
Yep.
So that's a big thing to consider.
Yeah.
Number two is cognitive health.
Mm.
More people are afraid of getting Alzheimer's than they are of getting cancer.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things you can do to improve your cognitive health. And the things that the experts keep coming back to are exercise and social connection.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that social connection again. And they found that while, Zoom and online activities aren't perfect, they're better than nothing.
Mm.
So even if people can't get out, if it's a bad winter, for example, or it's too hot to take a walk, you can connect with a virtual senior center. You can join some online book clubs, those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping your brain healthy, which includes a healthy diet, exercise, and being around people, is vital so that you can age in place or that you can age at least in your community.
Mm. It also speaks, I think, to the importance of communities, particularly with the high aging population, to really be thinking about how they can support those social connections, right?
Absolutely. My town has a senior center, and they do events monthly. They do luncheons, which is wonderful, except, of course, if you're a working person like you and I are, it's very hard to get to an event at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But I would tell people to check what is available in their town or in a nearby town. Just meeting new people can make a difference.
Yeah, I have to say, so we're located in Roxbury, the studio's in Roxbury, New York, and there is a well-organized group of older people who come together, I think, weekly. Robert Young puts out an e-newsletter of things that are happening in the community and organizes, I believe they still have outside luncheons during the summer with speakers and what have you. So I spoke there a year or two ago, and it was quite an engaged group of people. So in the immediate area of the studio, that's an opportunity for people.
There's that. You can find a yoga class if there's a gym nearby.
It's all over. Both we have yoga all over, and we have a rec center. Good. Keep going.
So those are things my husband does. He goes to yoga every week. Not only does it help with his balance and flexibility, but he's out with other people. He's not only his own age, but they're primarily older adults. So that's something. You can take a painting class. There's so many things, and most community colleges and universities will let you audit classes for free if you're over 60.
Mm.
So if there's a community college nearby, call them, and, if you've always wanted to learn about European history, go take a class.
Yeah, and in fact, this station, as I mentioned at the break, if there's the campus of State University of New York at Delhi, which is about 40 minutes from the station, maybe not even that long, far away. And people can listen on campus at 107.5 FM. And so if you're over in that area or can get to that area, that's a great idea, Liz, to look at auditing some courses that you might be interested in.
You're never too old to learn.
There you go. Well, Liz Siegert, I want to thank you so much for coming back on to Health Center and the Catskills. Liz Siegert is a freelance journalist who writes on aging issues for the Association for Healthcare Journalists, and she's Health Center correspondent on aging issues, and wrote the column on GLP-1s with Joseph Burns. And you can read that at her website, Liz Siegert, SEEGERT.com. That's LizSiegert.com. Thanks so much, Liz.
My pleasure, Diana. Anytime.